How many know church is not a building? Amen. Church is not 114 Fifth Street. Amen. Church is not up on the corner of I-35 and 30. I want you to understand that church is not back home with a steeple. Are you with me? Yeah. Church is people gathered around Jesus. Amen. Church is people gathered around who?
Jesus.
People gathered around Jesus. So I want to welcome you to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I want to ask that you will need your Bibles for a couple of passages of Scripture. You certainly, prayerfully, will need your notes today. We're going to share some things, but we want to get you involved. We want you to participate. We want you to be a part of what God wants to do. Please follow along. I don't know. I've seen this before in other ministries and stuff like that, that there's a little bit special attention given to like this section over here. Because how many know you got to be bold or you was made to sit over here? Amen? Are you with me? Oh, you know, you got to be bold. You got to be here for God to sit over in this section, all right? Amen? Because you know what? You might feel like their back is to the wall, but how many understand? They got screens right here. Amen? You didn't catch that. Amen? Praise Jesus. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. And I want to, let's see where we are here on the screen. And we're going to need your help there, Luis. Let's go to the next one, if you would. Praise God. Go ahead and jot down a few notes. We want to start off with what I want to call a flying test. And just because I know we're in this academic environment, you're quiet because you got nervous already. Amen? There's not going to be any grades, all right, outside of your life gets to fulfill this. So I'm going to ask right now that I've got like five questions, and some of them are meant to be things that you think about and to stir up your believe, stir up your thinking, stir up your thrive for God. But I want to call this a flying test. The first one is, where do you think of when thinking of where was Jesus' hometown? What do you think of? Where do you think of? What town, what statement from Scripture do you think of when you think of where was Jesus' hometown? I want you to maybe jot that down. Now, you do know that you're at BCC and you could be called on. I would ask that you not hide your eyes because I may ask you, are you with me? Amen? So that's question number one. And then number two is, what guides you or is stronger in your life? This is a real evaluation. I'm not trying to just be rhetorical. We're trying to cause us to grow. What guides you or is stronger in your life? Feelings and thoughts or what you believe. Come on, Dr. Johnson. Come on. Are we everybody with me? Amen? All right. We got some people beginning to get some thoughts about this. I want you to actually go further than that. I'm not talking about what's hypothetical or because you say it's in church, right? Oh, I believe. I'm talking about when somebody takes your place in line and goes ahead of you. Right? I'm talking about when somebody doesn't honor you from all the work you've been doing. I'm speaking about when your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your spouse, your significant other does something that you feel like they push your buttons. I'm talking about which one is more guiding to you, your feelings and your thoughts, or what you believe. It's getting quiet up in here, amen? Third question I want to ask you is this. This is just a flying test. It says, how powerful is being forgiven or forgiving? Sister Teske, how powerful is being forgiving or forgiving? Can I get you to read that first one? Read that with me. How powerful is being forgiven or forgiving? Amen. How many of us get a little tear in our eye? And how many of us remember that movie and how they displayed that and the example that people that had lost out for 10 years of their life and then they reconciled and you get a little teary-eyed? Or I want to ask you a question. How powerful is forgiving and being forgiven? How is forgiving, forgetting, and feeling and how we function from them comparable? How do we function? Right? Because some of us that are very scripturally sound and, you know, like to be very mindful of intellectual savviness and how they think and philosophically about approaches, I understand this thought, and that is you say, well, forgiveness does not mean to forget. How many of you know some of us, come on, we got head. You know, why is it that I ask for a loud amen, and it's like this? Right? You talk about forgiveness or forgetting. The question is, beyond that depth, though, the Bible says that God remembers our sins no more. I'm just saying, that's what the word says, amen. So we want to talk about how are those comparable. Let's go to the next one, if you would. Last two. This is a flying test. This is a what? What is revealed in reading Matthew's call, his coming, and commission to following Jesus? What is revealed in reading that? When we read that passage of scripture that Matthew were sitting there at the tax table or at the tax collector's table, and we know that they were very much so seen in those days and that culture as really being the type of people select that were really gangsters, right? These were not just, you know, IRS. Y'all already think they gangsters, amen? But no, this is real, genuine, like thief, thug type betrayal of the Jewish people type of gangstering, where they were belligerent and mean and they decided what your tax was today. Are you with me? So I want to ask you this question. What is revealed in reading Matthew's call, coming, and commission to following Jesus? And the last question we have here today is, who, say who?
Who?
Who? Turn to your neighbor and make a face at him and say, who? Who is welcomed at BCC? Who is welcome to what?
BCC.
I think that's a great question. Can you go take that back there? See if we can do anything to get that working. I'm not sure why it doesn't. Go to the next screen, if you will. Everybody turn their Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And I'll get a microphone as well, because I might have you read it if you don't mind, especially if you have a traditional translation, if you don't mind. May I see your microphone, Sister Joanne? Or thank you. Thank you. Brother Josh, if you could unmute the yellow. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to ask that you would please, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to say something that's revelatory in that passage of Scripture. What translations you all have?
I got King James.
King James is fine. Let's do that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Go ahead and read that, woman of God.
For the word of God.
Yellow. Go ahead.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Come on, somebody, everybody say amen. Amen. Powerful word, right? It's a good word. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of our illustrations here. First of all, we just want to share that when we read the Word of God, when we what? When we read the Word of God, number one, while we're in the midst of this particular series and we're taking off on it, I want you to understand that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which reveals the Word, can make you fly. The Word of God can make you what? I said the Word of God is worth more than American Airlines, United, Delta. Are you with me? I am telling you, Sister Irish, I know we're going to grow through some things about that, but we're going to get you to understand that, Krista, we understand that the Word of God is able to make you what?
Fly.
Praise God. How many know you all would be jumping and shouting if I came and gave you a free ticket right now, or, right? Or added some reward points to your whatever you know, you get your rewards. How many understand? But how many understand even more so is that the Word of God says that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. And I say that if we would diligently seek him through the word of God. Let's look at the side over there. Well, just look at the ground. Look at the word, right? I mean, we're talking about the word of God can reveal to you how to go into a dream home. The word of God can cause you to graduate. I can't get any help from students up in here. My God, how many know you got some classes that you need the word of God in more than you need that textbook? My God. Praise Jesus. I remember one year, one semester in my undergrad that they sent a take-home final. How many of you know you don't send a take-home final, amen? How many of you know you just dream about that, amen? That's something you pray about, amen? They gave us a take-home final, but I want you to understand the truth. Before I did the final, I was studying the Word of God. I was reading the Word and taking notes on the Word of God, and then I would go and do that. I want you to understand, that was the only one I might have got like an A- on. Are you with me? Because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is what?
Alive.
Look at that picture. Look at that demonstration, like a tree of life, like bringing in. I love these people on the ground with their hearts. You got a heart floating. You got graphs that go up. But I want you to see that it can cause you to fly. But here on the left-hand side, I want you to know this, because the Word of God, repeat after me when I said, the Word of God is alive.
Alive.
The Word of God is what?
Alive.
The Word of God is not dead. The Word of God is not ancient. The Word of God is alive.
Yeah.
The Word of God is alive because the Word of God is a person. The Word of God is Jesus manifested. If you want to know more about Jesus, then get into the Word, which will make you alive. And because of the Word is alive, he will make you alive. And anything that you feel dead in, you will come back to life again. If you feel like you're at a dead spot, you feel like you're at an empty place, you feel like you can't go further in your life, you feel like you can't be well in some area of your life, I guarantee you that there's a Word in there that is alive and living. Pastor, I can't deal with all those these and thous. There's so many translations now, they got it in whatever language you speak. Praise God. The Word of God is active. The Word of God is what?
Active.
And the Word of God is sharp, like a two-edged sword. Now, one translation says it this way, it cuts. Turn to your neighbor and say, cuts.
Yes.
Say, cuts.
Yes.
This is what we don't necessarily preach anymore. That the Word of God, like a two-edged sword, it cuts. It what? I don't hear people preaching about cutting anymore. Are you with me? What I'm saying is that the two-edged sword, listen, this is so good. I know, and I love her, and she loves me, so I can share something like that. I know Aunt Vanessa might have a difficulty if I say, sister, you need to get this right. Notice how, so, you say, no, that's not based on that. That's based on Aunt Vanessa. I guess. Maybe I need to pick Josh or somebody. Amen. Pray. Let me come over to some of my friends over here. Right, listen, come on. All right, you know what? You're really nice, Corey. Amen. If I was to say to the man of God, hey, you know, I think you're sitting too close to sister. Oh, see, now it got deep. Oh, see? Now, see? See, it got deep. It got deep up in here. Right? Oh, not wait, but Jasmine, like, I'm a. Corey, I think you're going to need to sit over here next week. Amen. All I'm saying is that could be an offense. But when the Word of God comes and cuts, you take it because it's so sharp that it didn't hurt when it came in. And when it comes back out, it heals. The Word of God is so sharp that it'll cut going in. But when it comes back out, it heals just that which it cut. That's the power of God. And guess what? While it's inside, it'll do a surgery to circumcise the heart and come back out and heal. Because the Word of God is not like flesh and blood. The Word of God is alive. He is active, and he is one that is so sharp that he'll come in and come out, and you'll be like, oh, I'm better.
Amen.
Therefore, here's the real cut, is that the Word of God cuts so well and so powerful that he cuts between, I know it says joints and marrow, but then it says between soul and what?
Spirit.
Between soul, between what?
Soul.
And
spirit.
Say soul.
Soul.
How many know if we want to fly, if we want to be welcomed at BCC, then you've got to welcome also to sometimes the word of God is going to cut. If you want to go to BCC, you're talking about wanting to grow, we've got to be able to say at some point there might be a word that might cause you to be what? Let's not take it offensive. We all want to be here to bless and to glorify Jesus in our lives. We want to see dreams come true. We want to see relationships mended. We want to see hearts change. And therefore, we need to bring people in and recognize, you know what? There might be a cut. But it's a cut between soul and spirit. And what we need is we need things to deal with our soul. So therefore, it says it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the... It's a discerner. Say discerner. Discerner. It distinguishes. It's able, other translations say it's able to judge. I love that about the Word of God, because how many understand only the Word of God and the voice of God and the Spirit of God can reveal things to you that you haven't told anybody else? How many understand if you're unforgiving towards someone and you know you hide it, you fake it, you know, you're saying you smile, you wave, you might even hug. But how many understand you turn and you, are you with me? How many understand you go away? Right? Wait a minute. I already asked you, which one do you really have more strength? Your feelings and your thoughts, or what you really believe? You see that? All I'm asking you to do is to examine, because here's what we want to talk about. Go to the next one. I got to go faster. You see, we read that scripture, and many of us have read it. Some of us have taught it. Some of us have read books about it. There's a really good book that I know I was given years ago, and it's very powerful. A whole entire, you know, literally a whole entire book written off like one scripture, like one word in that verse of Hebrews 4:12. But I want to get you to hear this, because this is a powerful statement. I'm going to have you repeat it after I say it. Get this. When you read the scripture, and when we read scriptures today, here's something we understand, Kevin. Look at this. Watch this, you all. Redundancy does not reduce the relevance to revive. You got to catch this. Aunt Peggy, listen. The redundancy of you reading the scripture, because let's be honest. How many know some of us would say, let's turn to John 3:16. You're like, God so loved the world. Yeah, he gave his own God's son. Yeah, who's ever believed him? Something about perish, I don't know. How many understand we go through it like, oh, I know that. How many understand just because you know that doesn't mean you live that? Whoops. I'm just saying, just can we take a look at maybe redundancy? How many times you read something does not necessarily mean that it has been reduced to its relevance in our lives. That's good teaching right there, amen. So therefore, here's a better one. How many understand, just because 2 + 2 = 4 doesn't make it not true. All of us know it, but we still got to live by it. And you best believe you make the cashier live by it, amen? So therefore, it doesn't matter if you know it. It matters, are you willing to reach in and receive it? Because it has the power to make you alive. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are trichotomy, spirit, soul, body. Some people might say that's old teaching, but how many understand that still doesn't make it not true? So here's what I want you to understand of why I'm taking so much time over this thought. Is with our emotions we feel. With our emotions we what?
Feel.
And with our mind we think. With our mind we what?
Think.
We think thoughts. Are you with me? And with our actions or our will, we perform what? Actions, right? So the question I asked was, are your feelings and your thoughts more powerful than your beliefs? The reason is because if they are, here's just one test. Which one do we repeat to ourselves more? Our own feelings, our own thoughts, or the Word of God? Because whichever one we repeat the most has the greater essence of being lived out or acted upon. In other words, if I'm angry with someone and I keep thinking about being angry, then how many understand we understand why we blew up? Does that make sense? But how many understand in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if I keep pulling those thoughts down every time it tried to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and against the Christ, and every time it goes up, I pull it back down, how many understand it's going to stay down more than it stays up? Amen. How many know we're doing some good teaching right now? Yes. How many of us want to live like that? Yes. Amen. How many would? It's in the notes. Let's go to the next point. Let's go ahead and go there. Psalms 32, if you will. Psalms 32, verses 6 and 8. I believe most of the other scriptures are one more scripture that you'll have to turn your Bible to, but let's go ahead and get you to go to Psalms 32. Everybody say, the preacher's back.
The preacher's back.
Amen, I agree with that. Y'all got a traditional translation over there? Anything, ESV, anything. Amplified takes long.
Pressure, pressure. Passion.
There you go. Thank you. All right. We're going to read verses 32 to 6, Psalm 32, verse 6 to 8. Go ahead.
This is what I've learned through it all. All believers should confess their sins to God. Do it every time God has uncovered you. For if you do this, when sudden storms of life overwhelm, you'll be kept safe. Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life.
You can stop right there. That was the Passion Translation?
Yeah.
Just hold that. Amen. So what I want you to capture in your reading is perhaps these two thoughts. One of the scriptures says, pray to him in a time that he may be found. I think some scriptures say when he is near and when he can be found. Pray to him when God can be found. Pray to him when he can be what? Now, we know that God is everywhere and is in all places, and he goes before you, he hems in behind you, he is around you. We understand. But when the psalmist writes this, it's kind of like this exhortation. It's kind of like this assertion, like, you know what? When you hear the voice of God, when you sense God is near, when you can see, how many know you say, man, God just feels, you can just sense him, you can feel him. You can, you know, when you talk about God being, you know, you can tell that he's in the room in the midst of worship, or you can tell that there was a scripture or a verse that came to you and cut you a certain way and then came back out and healed you, and now you know you need to act upon that because you believe more than you feel and more than you think. Not that you leave your feelings and your thoughts behind, but how many understand you can believe things that you don't feel yet? You can believe things that you don't necessarily think yet. That's why we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, before we even understand how did he get raised up from the dead. But I know that he raised from the dead, therefore I believe that he did. And from that, and I confess with my mouth, because I believed in my heart, I am saved. I may not understand it all. I may not get every scripture. I can't do a Sunday school lesson on it. But I can tell that I'm saved because he raised me from my dead sins. Hallelujah. How many understand that God can be the only one in your apartment, your duplex, your whatever, your bedroom? You land there, you're hurting, you're lonely, and you sense something that causes your tears to fall and drop in a bottle, because the Bible says he puts our tears in a bottle. My God. And then it says this. It says that he will provide us songs of deliverance. Songs of what?
Deliverance.
Songs of what?
Deliverance.
Hallelujah. How many know you can be saved for 22 years but still be bound by something? How many know you can understand that something happened last week and you've been working on it all week but you still haven't found freedom in it yet? I want you to understand that God provides us with songs of what? Songs of what? Next screen, if you will. It all starts with prayer. It all starts with what?
Prayer.
Can I get you to yell that out as loud as you can? It all starts with what?
Prayer.
It all starts with prayer. As you all know, Anna Maria and I, we were away, I think 2 weeks ago, or I think it was, or something like that. And wow. It's more beautiful to just be a son of God and a saint of God, a servant of God, than it is to be a pastor. I don't think you heard that.
I heard it.
Did you hear that? And what I mean by that is, how many know that you just get to be yourself?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Y'all say, Pastor, you know you pretty much yourself all the time. Amen. And if not, I really don't want to see you. Amen. But here's the deal. Ann and I had a phenomenal time where we're praying about things and touching and agreeing on things, and we're just being ourselves, and we're eating this little breakfast, and we're eating at this patio thing outside, you know, and God had divinely orchestrated for us to be at that particular space at that particular time, and then we were sitting there, and as the food was being prepared, and they're going to come bring it to us or whatever, just a little cafe type thing, and while that happened, we just began to pray. We began to pray. Now, let me throw this in here. I have learned to start praying before the food get there. Are you with me? I'm going to say that again. Let me try to help some people. Amen. How many understand the prayers don't seem the same when the food is there? This is some tremendous teaching today. Amen. That was a lesson right there. So while the food was still not there, grabbed my bride's hand and we began to pray, and we're praying softly, right? You just, Father, and we just began to pray on all kinds of things, and we're praying for our marriage, we're praying for our children, praying for their futures, we're praying for our mothers, we were praying for the beauty of God's creation, we were praying to understand the depth, the knowledge, the width, the height, to know the love of God. We were praying the love of God. And we were praying it like just like with a whisper, kind of like God, and just for her to hear it. And as we began to pray, and you know, Jesus is moving, and we just sensed the presence of God. We finished the prayer, and we opened up our eyes, and the food got there. Amen. But this little lady was going down the steps, and she said, "Thank you. That was really a blessing. I couldn't quite hear what you were saying, but that was really a blessing." And I already know she wasn't faking it. She was being serious. And then her husband, which was on this side of us, said, "You know, where this area is, you don't see that very much. So thank you so much. Man, it was such a blessing, really." And then they began to articulate things that were going on in their lives, and they began to say, "Wow, you know, we're a couple, and you know, we just went to church camp, and man, we just," this is what they said. They said, "We went to church camp, and we were asking God to see something that would make us know it was God." Did you hear what I said?
Yep.
Say supernatural.
Supernatural.
So here we are in the midst of that. They literally say, "We don't see this in this area. This is unheard of. This is just not normal. This is not usual. Thank you so much." And praise God, and Anna said some beautiful things and was edifying them and blessing them. And then we said, "You know what? Once we get done with this meal, can we turn and pray with you?" Mm. Praise God. "Oh, yes, sure. Please, that'd be wonderful." And after we're done with our meal, we turn, and this is what the picture is. And we stood up right there at the restaurant, and we held hands right outside in the midst of waiters and hosts and all of those things. How many understand we've got to learn to be bold? So we're standing right there. And the reason you see this picture is because there happened to be two other people on the other side. It was only six chairs. The other two, we took up four. The other two said, "Oh, my God, look at them. They're praying. That is beautiful." And they took snapshots. And then they said, "We're Christians, too."
And then the guy was blown away because he says he never sees this. This never happens in that area. And all of a sudden, now you got six Christians all up on the top deck praying with their hands, open up wide unto God, praying and giving exaltation to Jesus, praying ye one for another, all because it all starts with prayer. Amen. Come on and give the Lord a prayer offering. After we come back, I will say the birds raided our food, but that's okay. But when we came back and sat down, my little bride, she looks up to me and she turns to me and she said, and it all started with prayer. How many understand we weren't trying to do anything to anybody? We weren't trying to lay hands on anybody, but God laid hands on whoever he wanted to. Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise offering. Amen. Say this out loud. Say, it all starts with prayer. Go to the next screen, if you will. So as we review what we're doing, for those that need to understand, going in clockwise fashion, we want to help you shine. The way we want to do that is we want to prepare you in our vision and values. So we started a whole new series, and now the series is called Welcome to BCC. It's called what?
Welcome to BCC.
And the way we're doing that is we want to share this message, which you call Defy Gravity. It's called what?
Defy Gravity.
Now, everything we've preceded is to set us up for where we're going. Are you with me? Go to the next screen. You turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read it myself. And thank you, Brother Todd. I am going to read from the Amplified Bible. Amen. You follow along in whatever your translation is. And certainly if you have an electronic Bible, I'm going to ask that you would please do so in the Amplified. I'm going to read from the Amplified. There's two different versions. They are the Amplified Classic and the Amplified, the one that's most modern, the latest edition. So I'm going to read starting at verse 12 to 13. Let me tell you why. Let's look up on the screen. We want to help you what? Four areas with people in Christ today. And this rest of this message is really about these two areas. We want to help you shine in your purpose, and we want to help you shine as a person. We want to help you shine in your what? And help you shine as a, especially as a what? Person. We're going to help you shine as a what?
Person.
So therefore, we're going to read verses 12 to 15. Look at the scriptures, 12 to 15. It says this: "So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation." Work out your what? Now, we're not working out our salvation to deserve something. We're working out of something that's already been given to us.
Right.
"We work out your salvation, that is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity." Actively pursue spiritual what?
Maturity.
Listen, everything in the bracket that I just read, sometimes we as Christians believe it's going to happen to us. And what we're trying to provoke your attention to is that it said work out of the salvation, cultivate your salvation, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspiring fear, trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. Boy, that was good. "For it is not your strength." It is not my what?
Strength.
"But it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work," that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is active. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is so sharp that it cuts and divides between joints and marrow, between soul and spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God knows what your purpose is, and when you read the Word of God, it'll make you alive to what you were created and designed and birthed by God to become. Hallelujah. I know 75% of us change our majors in college, but how many understand you're all really after the pursuit of knowing your purpose? Because your purpose will fulfill you. Somebody say amen. I'm going to go to verse 14. Please follow. You don't want to miss this. Read your translation. I'll read mine. It says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and arguing, questioning, and doubting among yourselves. That means cut, amen? Come on, Samuel. That means Can I read that again for us? Do all things without feelings of grumbling and feelings and thoughts of fault finding and complaining against God and arguing from the conflict that starts in us and then comes out, questioning and doubting among yourselves. Four nods and no amens on that one. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky or universe. Say, I will shine.
I will shine.
Praise God. Listen, I'm not even trying to be mad or angry or hurt feelings or an old school brimstone preacher. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just simply saying there's things that will cause us to shine. Let me do it this way. How many know if you have a pair of shoes or you have a pair of leather shoes or you know, some jumpers that you have, that means tennis shoes or something, that you really, really like? Josh, does that make sense, right? How many understand if you want to cause them to shine again, you buff them, right? You put something on them, you shine them up. If they're tennis shoes, you take everything else out the washer and you put them in there and you take the strings out and you put those in there. Or you might take a little toothbrush. Some of y'all are super serious and you scrub on the sides of them, right? Let me ask us a question. Aren't you worth more than your tennis shoes? I'm just saying. How many understand I'm worth more than tennis shoes? I know they cost a lot today. But I'm just saying, Brother Mason, I mean, you know what? You might go down to Aldo or, you know, I don't know where you get your shoes from, but you might go down there and I hope that we'll be willing to work out our own soul salvation in fear and trembling so that I can come forth and shine like a star. Because I want to shine in my area. I don't compare if it's computer science. I don't care if it's Judah out on the, you know, soccer field. It doesn't matter if I'm building a new craft or creation, Sister Lee. It doesn't matter if I'm a praise and worship leader or if I'm working with children. I want them to feel the love of God. It doesn't matter what area it is. I want to shine so that I might let my light shine before men that they might see my good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. No, no, not me. It's Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say, I am worth
more than tennis shoes.
Hallelujah. I just think that's good teaching. Go to the next screen. Read the three words on the side. Boldness, embody, and trailblazing. What's the last word?
Trailblazing.
Brother Derek put out a social media post, I think, and he called it hashtag trailblazing. We're going to a new seat and set up. Amen. And how many understand, it don't matter, I don't care if Cornerstone moves all of their chairs and all of their 4,000 people around and make a circle, now we did it first, amen. Theirs might look better and spent more money on it, but we did it first. How many know Christ Community Church might have two auditoriums, we got one, but we put a circle on it. My God, it's not about competing, it's about completing one another, and we want to be a blessing to who our people are so that we may be authentic worshipers that shine. Give the Lord a praise offering. Praise God. Go to the next screen. Go to the next screen. Read the yellow with me. Ready, set, read. Holy Spirit led, free in Christ, hospitable, mercy strategies, everyone prays, everyone plays, everyone heals, supernatural in services and streets. Go to the next screen. Just read it out loud.
Welcome to BCC.
Do what?
Welcome to BCC.
Go to the next screen. We are in the middle of trying to take us further, and we're going to keep going as long as we can get to it. Last week was the trailer. We give you the whole synopsis of what it means, but what we want to learn how to do is to defy gravity. Is to do what? Is to do what? Next screen, if you will. Stay with me. It wasn't last week, but I want to help break this down. I want to make a very strong parallel between gravity and held down. I want to make a very strong parallel between gravity, between what?
Gravity.
And being held down. Being held what?
Down.
And I know all of us can get the understanding of it, but this is what was really edging at me all week, is that, you know what, Pastor Turan, you've got to be communicating more clearly. So here's the point I want to make. Is to be held down means gravity is what holds you what? Down. Gravity is what holds you what?
Down.
Gravity is what holds you back, is what holds you what?
Back.
Gravity can hold you what?
Down.
It can hold you down. Listen, gravity is what holds you out. Holds you out of things. Things that you want to get into. You might want to get into a new career. You might want to get into a new job. You might want to get into a new relationship. You might want to grow further in Christ. Some of us in here right now have been Christians, but we may not have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. We don't know if it's for us. We don't know if it's not for us. We decide I'm just going to stay clear of it. But how many know that may mean that your gravity is holding you what? Out. It's holding you what? You could mean that gravity is what holds you stuck. Holds you what?
Stuck.
How many understand if you can't make advancements, how many understand? Of course, you've got three major areas in life. You're like a 10 out of 10. But it might be those other areas that might be having you where you might still be what? Stuck. Gravity is what holds you under. Have you ever been felt like you was under? So not only is gravity what holds you down, holds you out, holds you under, but it's what causes you to be what? Bound. Causes you to be what? It's gravity, what, that holds you hurting. I'm going to slow down right there. Gravity is what causes you to stay and be held on to your what?
Hurt.
To your hurts. Oh, I know you've been fighting. But if you go back to under, I'm around some friends that they have this little competition of like treading water for like 5 minutes or something like that, right? And they just be in there treading. Trey, come on, hop in. Nah, bro. I'm gonna tell you right now, that's not gonna happen. Let me tell you, cause I'll be in there, I'll be treading like that. All I'm saying is that because gravity will hold you down, because many of us are held down because we're held what? Under. All I'm saying is that if you're being held under, wow, I never thought about that. It's on there somewhere, isn't it? Oh, boy. Oh, there it is over another column. Some of us know that we're being held in the past. Some of us have been held in the what?
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, are you? Held by gravity to the past. I'm gonna go fast. You don't have to repeat them. Listen, gravity is what holds you in resistance. You see, every time you try to do something for God, every time you try to do something that's gonna better you, there's so much resistance that you get discouraged. Come on. Is that right, Sister Jennifer? Listen, gravity is what holds you in anger. Gravity is what holds you in bitterness, holds you captive. And the Bible says that Jesus came with the anointing to set the captives what?
Free.
It's because he knows that gravity is what holds us in captivity. Uh-oh, look at this one. Gravity is what holds you in excuses.
All right, come on now.
Gravity is what holds you in what?
Excuses.
In what?
Excuses.
Is anybody being helped at all?
Yes.
Or is this way too serious? Like, I don't really appreciate you being all up in my front room right now, Pastor. Well, listen. I know this might be bothersome or so, but gravity is what holds you in sickness. Gravity is what holds, because it's by a force that's unseen, but you can tell it's against you. Say a force.
A force.
How many know gravity is a force? Can anybody see gravity? No, it's a law, though. How many know it's a law? And a law can hold you. A law can direct you. And you cannot break that law unless you've got power to break it. Gravity is what is a pull. Gravity is what keeps you from your dream. Gravity keeps you in the past. And I want the last one. Gravity is what causes you from forgiving. Go to the next screen. Say, defy gravity. Defying gravity means to defy what is the natural, the norm, the expectation of you. Doing what you dream of and ignoring everything that says you can't. Ignoring everything that says you what?
Can't.
You see, defying gravity is there are people that you will meet who say that things are impossible. Things are what?
Impossible.
I have this in my notes, but I'm just refer to a few of them because I'm in contact with them. How many of y'all, let's give a big praise offering for Brother Aaron Mason. Y'all remember Brother Aaron? Come on, how many of y'all love Brother Aaron? Amen. You see, Brother Aaron came here as an undergrad, has a dream to be an engineer, intelligent young man. Had a dream to be an engineer, and how many understand that some schools, I'm not gonna name the one that's to our west, I'm just saying, didn't man over there, Uncle Doctor. But the issue is sometimes they can do things, and there can be counselors that say things, there can be professors that feel things and state things, and it all comes out like with cordial or PC wording, but how many understand that ultimately at the end they're trying to tell you can't? Brother Stuart Parham from Waterloo, Iowa, another engineer, came to Iowa State, won all those trophies for wrestling, for them to in the engineering college to say, nope. Because you can. I'm not making this about who you are or what you are, but how many understand there are people in life that will tell you you can't?
Yeah.
My God. And as a direct result of that, here he is. He had to break out of his comfort zone and went to another university. Not only went to another university, but they love him there. He's continuing his degree in engineering and is working for other companies that will let him do engineering and found himself a bride and is gonna get married. I'm telling you, dreams come through when you break out of your comfort zone and you believe God more than you believe people. It's what God says more than what people say, more than your doubts say, more than your failures say, more than your bad experiences say. When you have a heart that cleaves unto God, he will cause impossible things to become possible. Say, defy gravity. My God. If some of you all wasn't held back by gravity, you would have gave the Lord a shout on that one. Hallelujah. Look at these scriptures. It says this. But the Lord says, but who? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm going to see if I can get this section over here. Go ahead and write that down. I don't know what y'all writing, but I hope y'all writing that down. With God. Say with God. Everybody talk to them over there. Say with God.
With God.
Nothing shall be impossible. How many know it doesn't matter what police say, doesn't matter what mom and daddy and them say, what grandmom and them say, ex-girlfriend say. How many understand? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Glory to God. Can I give you some more scripture? Go to the next one. This is the same verse, Luke 1:37. This is what the actual Greek means. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power of fulfillment. Because when God says it or speaks it, it is already has the power in it to fulfill it and to bring it to pass. So if he said it, it's gonna happen. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Why? Because every word from God has the power to fulfill itself. Somebody say amen. Mark 9:23 says this. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, if you can what?
Believe.
All things are what?
Possible.
All things are what?
Possible.
To him who what?
Believe.
I'm asking this question again. Do you believe more than you feel and think?
Come on now.
Oh, my God. I hope you'll take this home. If you believe the word of God and keep it before your eyes and your heart, it will come to pass more than if your feelings do not align with it. That's a good word. Research shows, we got the counselor right here. Listen, research shows if you actually keep talking to yourself, self-talk about it, then that's what happens. So let's start talking to the word of God to ourselves and let it happen. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
I dare you to break out of that gravity.
Yeah.
I'm daring you, Anthony. It's not just bad relationships, man of God. It's God's power to cause that which is within me to attract that which I know God has for me.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Go to the next screen, if you will. Oh, man, I got to hurry up. Woo! Yep, take a picture of that one. We want to go from comfort zone. Watch this. Welcome to BCC. I want to inspire and treat us out of our comfort zones and destroy them. We're wanting to treat you out of your comfort zone. Out of your what?
Comfort zone.
And cause you, men of God, to go into an area where, watch this, but you've got to be willing to go through this stuff. The fear zone. Well, first of all, what is comfort zone? Where you feel safe and in control. And how many know control is such a lie? Amen. Yeah. How many know you really don't have control? Right? You've got control of one thing, yourself. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at this. Then you got to go through the fear zone, which is the lack of self-confidence. You've got excuses. That should be fine. You found excuses. Be affected by others' opinions. I know I do. My God, you've got to go through the learning zone, deal with the challenges and problems. This is the point I really wish we would get. How many understand that we've got to grow, you got to deal with challenges? And then it says you got to acquire new skills and extend your comfort zone. And then the growth zone is where you find your purpose, you live your dreams, you set new goals, and you conquer objectives. You do all of that. None of those become so much of a reality until you first break out of the comfort zone. Go to the next screen. You don't need to turn there. They're on the screen. All I'm trying to get us to recognize and believe is that reading, what? Following, believing, relying on, trusting in Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, is what causes us to change our feelings and our thinking.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful word.
Yeah.
Go to the next screen. Matthew chapter 9. I've got to go fast. Chapter 9. This is the Passion Translation. We're going to study the 1 to 13 today. It says this. Jesus got into the boat and returned to what was considered his hometown. His what? Can I share something with you? I have never, in all of my reading, I have passed by this I don't know how many times, and I have never seen that it said that. Like, almost in every translation, too. Like, and somehow it says his own, is what, you know, King James, everybody. And so it says this, that I saw. Jesus got into the boat and returned to what was considered his what?
Hometown.
His what?
Hometown.
How many know that? Come on, didn't I catch somebody on that question?
Yeah.
It wasn't Nazareth. Right? How many of y'all had Nazareth? Right? Oh, he was from Nazareth. He was a Nazarene. The scripture says he was returned to his hometown. I'll explain that later in Capernaum. Just then, some people brought a paraplegic man to him lying on a sleeping mat. He was what?
Lying.
He was what?
Lying.
All right. And when Jesus perceived the strong faith within their hearts, not his heart, but within what?
Their heart.
He said to the paralyzed man, my son, be encouraged. Your sins have been forgiven. Have been what?
Forgiven.
These words prompted some of the religious scholars to think, why, that's nothing but blasphemy. I can't go over all of it. I'll keep repeating it every Sunday or something like that. But I do want you all to pay attention that this man comes to him. This is a man on a mat. This is a man on a what?
Mat.
This is the same a depiction of when they lowered the man down into the house. Into the what? So that's what this is. Keep going. Jesus supernaturally, how did he do it? Perceived their thoughts and said to them, why do you carry such evil in your hearts? Whoa, that's interesting. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk? Immediately the man sprang to his feet. He did what? He sprang to his feet and left for home. And when crowds witnessed this miracle, they were awestruck. They were awestruck. And they shouted praises to God because he had given such authority to human beings. I want you to catch this. This was a man on a mat. This was a man on a what?
Man.
He was a man that was, literally on the mat, though they are carrying him and laying him down. When Jesus gets to him, then he what? He sprang what? He sprang what? He was once what?
Man.
And then he sprang? Because of Jesus. Next screen. As Jesus left Capernaum, he came upon a tax collecting station where a Jewish man named Matthew was collecting taxes for the Romans. Come follow me, Jesus said to him. Immediately, Matthew jumped what? He jumped what? And began to follow Jesus. The first man was a man on a mat. This here is a sinner in a seat.
Come on now.
The first one was a man on a what?
Mat.
This one is a sinner on a? But when Jesus came, he jumped what? He jumped up. What about you? Jesus went to Matthew's house and made himself at home. Many other tax collectors and outcasts of society were invited to eat with Jesus and his disciples. When those known as the Pharisees saw what was happening, they were indignant, and they kept asking Jesus' disciples, why would your master dine with such sinners, lowlifes? The NLT says scum. The Message Bible, which is interpretation, says acting cozy with crooks and misfits. Boy, I wish I could preach that. Go to the next screen. When Jesus overheard this, he spoke up and said, healthy people. What kind of people?
Healthy
people don't need to see a doctor. Let me tell you this real quickly because I can't preach it all. I don't think that we should keep bringing the same people in every Sunday.
Come on.
It's getting quiet up in here.
Come on, man.
Because, the bowls is pretty healthy. How many of you, I could just sit down and they could pick up the message and start preaching? And she could do it in a couple of different languages. Are y'all with me? I'm just saying, this is not where this happens, because if everybody is well, that's good. But we're supposed to be here for the people that's not well. I'm just saying. It says healthy people don't need to see a doctor, but the sick will go for treatment. Then he added, now you should go and study the meaning of this verse. I want you to show what?
Mercy.
I want you to show what?
Mercy.
Not just offer me a sacrifice. For I have come to invite the outcasts of society and sinners, not those who think they are already on the right path. That's good preaching right there. Go to the next screen. Brother Josh, I want you to come over, man of God. I want you to share just a little crux of this. And I can't go. The only part I'll deal with is this one. Get the microphone. We'll use the yellow one again. I think they have it. Yellow. Listen. I want you to catch defying gravity. Say defy gravity.
Defy gravity.
Today's scripture reveals two people. One was a man on a what?
Mat.
And he was lying down. And Jesus caused him to get what?
Up.
We want to talk about number two. This man was a sinner. He was a what?
Sinner.
He was a gangster. Amen? He had a double-breasted robe. Are you with me? He had all kind of gold and stuff on. I'm just talking, y'all. Just modernizing the text, all right? Don't add anything to the scripture. Okay. But how many understand that he's just sitting there? Now, I think this is such a peculiar scripture that he is there doing his job, got his little degree from Jerusalem University, and he's just, robbing folk. Right? This dude comes by and says, follow me. He like, I'm up. I don't know if he knew Jesus or not. Maybe he had heard of him. Maybe he knew because of the town and all the things, and he knew who he was. But I want to ask you a different question. For those of us that's in this room and those that's watching online, we're not like Matthew. We know who he is. And how many of us is he saying, come? Come in that new area you're supposed to be growing in. Come in that thing that has you stuck. Come in that person you won't forgive. Come in that thing that you're sitting down on and you've been worried about, you're taking a pill for it. Come. Yeah. Josh.
Well, Pastor asked me to share this kind of story. About 2 weeks ago, I think it was when Pastor Jeremy shared last year, and I'm just sitting in the chair, just kind of listening to the message, and I started reading the scripture that he put on the screen and told us to read, so that's good, reading the scripture. And I don't know which pastor it was, but one of them kind of took me to note in my Bible or something, and took me to Hosea 6, and I was like, oh, I'm out here just reading Hosea 6, and it starts talking about, there it is, should I read this or should I?
Those are the key phrases. Yes, please.
Okay. Kind of got to the point where Hosea 6:6, which is the one that was referenced, said, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than offer offerings. And that kind of just, that one, and then verse 4 kind of hit me, which was, for your love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in the sunlight. And I just kind of like, I don't know, Pastor Jeremy's given a wonderful sermon, and I'm here kind of being ministered to the Lord to express how I'm feeling right now and what he's doing in my heart, which is saying, like, there's that verse, which I'm like, that feels like me. But my love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in the sunlight. I'm like, I don't even know that was in the Bible. I didn't even know that God understands that I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm here, I feel like I get it, I got what the Lord has for me, and then, oh, it's the next morning. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, and I'm just over here, Pastor Jeremy's saying something else, it's wonderful, and Holy Spirit's ministering right then and there, and so I just, I don't know that, I think it's, when we're here, when we're at DCC, I think what's welcome to DCC about it is, we're here for a person, we're not here for the message. It was a wonderful message. We're here for a person, and that person can minister to us.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that a good word?
Yes.
So I'm going to close it up on this part right here. I've got to run fast. Watch this. The word there in verse 4, for your love vanishes like the morning, that is speaking, God is speaking to the people of God. Listen, he says, your love vanishes, and that word is the word mercy, or the word chesed. He says, for your love vanishes. In other words, we have a love, but God said, you know what? Just as Joshua said, he said, you know what? You all in for me, you all loving in me, and then it's like the dew is gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm going to run fast for Christ, man. Now I'm sure I'm about to get my life right. Oh. Are you with me? And then by the door, by the time you get to the door, I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. How many know the next one in verse 6 is, what I want you to do is to show me love like I have, where it's consistent, where it's steadfast, where it's loyal. Say loyal.
Loyal.
Where your love is what?
Loyal.
Is what?
Loyal.
Go to the next screen, if you will. I might have to you go fast. Oh, keep going. Keep going. Oh, the possibilities. Oh, the what?
Possibilities.
Say, try to fly.
Try to fly.
All I'm asking you to do is try to fly. Is try to fly. I'm not asking what you've tried 4 times and it didn't work. I'm not asking that you know what you forgave them and then you know what they came back and did it again. I'm not asking that, you know what, I try to take that class, but every time I'm on the 5th time I'm taking, I know some people is being kept out of their degree because they can't pass this one class. All I'm asking you to do, in order to fly, you've got to defy gravity. Because right now, all of us want to fly. But when I was in that airplane and I looked out the window and I saw that wing go down and then that thrust took off, I realized, wait a minute, there's something that I don't know about aerospace or aeronautical that I need help in. Why did it do that? Go to the next screen, if you will. You remember I told this already. Oh, man, I got to deal with this. You know I got to deal with this, right? Pastor, you know you look kind of funny. I know I got that. You see, with God, all things are possible. And the reason we want to inspire you and break you out is because, you know what, you're not the first ones that ever been stuck before. You're not the only ones that needed to defy gravity. So I want to welcome you to BCC. Welcome you to what? But you know what? You know when they say I bought the T-shirt? I did. Because we also the heart of God. We're also the what? In our... I bought that T-shirt too, amen? And something, there's something about Welcome to BCC that I know it's all about being the heart of God. But you know what? I bought that T-shirt. I did that one. But before you ever got here, this ain't the first T-shirt campaign we ever did. We started in the Memorial Union, but when we carried that wood cross, some of us was with us when we did that. We came over on 2005, January. We had just finished a Daniel fast, and all of us came over, not on that day, but beforehand, and blessed the house. We didn't even have any preaching. I know that's hard to believe. But we had Peter on the, or Mike on the keyboard. We had a choir going, and we just gave praise unto God because we had arrived in 2005. Come on and give the Lord a praise offering. I said, we arrived. How do you understand when a dream come true with a bunch of college student tuition? Not making very much money, like four of us tithing, are you with me? And we in a brand new building in downtown Ames, second highest real estate in the state. You have to understand, somebody said we couldn't do it, but how many understand we did do it? Not only that, some of y'all don't know this, but how many know we're also debt-free? Praise God. Wait, but I bought that T-shirt, but before that T-shirt, we had another T-shirt. We was going retro before that T-shirt. I said we went retro back in the day, man. You say, no, that looked like that was new back then. Let's stop that, okay? It was retro then. And this man right here, he went out and started his own business. I want you to understand, will you allow your dreams to come true? Because sometimes a T-shirt will tell it all, right? But you still don't understand the fullness of the message. Say faith.
Faith.
My God, say faith.
Faith.
We believe in being a household of faith. I want you to understand, you don't get this. But when you have a household of faith, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, do good to everyone, but especially to the household of what?
Faith.
It's a house party. That's all I'm saying. I say, when Jesus is in the house, it's a what?
House.
Say Capernaum.
Capernaum.
Do you realize that Capernaum is where they lowered the man down in the house?
Yeah.
It is believed that Jesus, whenever he was in Capernaum, they allowed him to have that house. Therefore, that's why those meetings was held there, because it was in Capernaum. Now we understand was his hometown, because he also had a little crib there that he would have ministry in and that he would minister to the people. But not only that, can I tell you what also Capernaum is known for? Miracles. Capernaum is known for miracles. The actual definition of the word Capernaum means a village of comfort. And how many know wherever Jesus, God is, the God of all comfort, there's going to be comfort. So there it was. It was his hometown. It was the place of comfort. It was the place of miracles. And he had a house so people could come in and he can minister to them. Even if they didn't have the faith, your friends might have the faith. That's why you need to start bringing people in here, because of your faith, not because of their faith. And when God sees your faith, your friend can be healed, just like that man did in that same house. Because when Jesus is in the house, it's a house party. Somebody say amen. My God, I was with that T-shirt too. But the one I want you to understand is John chapter 16, verse 33. The Bible says, and in this world you will have trial, trouble, tribulation. In the world you will have trial. You'll have what?
Trial.
You'll have tribulation. But the Bible says, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid, for I have overcome the world. I have what?
Overcome.
I have what?
Overcome.
I want y'all to understand something. Do y'all notice? Y'all may not see this, but this is the overcomer. Do y'all see that? And it's got the cross over the world. Did y'all hear that? Can I tell you why? Dr. Johnson, this is a little branding. Say branding.
Branding.
You see, this little branding right here is kind of supposed to look like a,
like a swoosh. Can I tell you why? Because the word nike, N-I-K-E, is a Greek word, and that Greek word means overcomer. Come on! You see, you understand that Jesus wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to be an overcomer of your trials and tribulations, and whatever has you down in gravity, he wants to teach you how to defy gravity by being an overcomer. I bought that t-shirt too, amen? But the one I want you to end on, you say, whoa, that one got some wear on it. Yeah, it do. You say, Pastor, your pants is white, but that's not white. Are you with me? Because I wear this one a little more than everybody else. What I'm calling this one is C equals Y squared C. And I asked the mathematician, Sister Dr. Bowles, I said, can we do that in a formula? And she said, yes, sir. She went into a whole bunch of other stuff, and I just said, okay, honey. But at the end of it, I said, can I do C equals Y squared C? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, for what? Come on with me. I can what? No, slow down. I can what? I can do what? Through who? What? Because there is too many people that's saying to you, you can't, Sister Geis. There's too many people saying you can't, Deborah. There's too many people saying you can't, Anthony. And Christ, capital C equals Y squared. Yes, you can. Yes, you what? Yes, you what? Now I got to finish this message. I need you to go fast, if you would. Click ahead. Click ahead, click ahead, click ahead, click ahead. Stay right there. Jesus defied gravity. Jesus defied what?
Gravity.
Come on, say it out loud. Jesus defied what? John chapter 10, verse 17. I'm going to read the scriptures. Look what it says. The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life in order to what? Take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Next one. Jesus defied gravity. Why? In Luke 24:07 says, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day I will what? Rise again. Because Jesus defied gravity. John chapter 2 verse 19. Jesus answered, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will what? Raise it up again, because Jesus knew how to defy gravity. Next screen, if you will. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 to 40 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging them on a what? Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. I don't understand why you're not praising God, because God knows to let us know he knew how to defy gravity. Jesus knows how to defy gravity. Therefore, he will cause you to defy gravity. Yeah. Go to the next screen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. God raises up to defy gravity. Psalms 40, verse 2 says, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. Proverbs 24:16, for the righteous fall 7 times. But rises back up again. But the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Next screen. You see, 1 Samuel 2:8, he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make him sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. Psalms 145, verse 14, the Lord sustains all who fall. I said, the Lord sustains all who fall, and he raises up all who are bowed down. I want you to get this if you don't get it again and again. With God, all things are possible, because Jesus defied gravity. He is ready to do like the man on the mat. He's ready to do like the sinner on the seat and cause you too to be lifted up, because Jesus says, I want nobody to know that they took my life. I laid it down. And if I lay my life down, I will pick it back up again, because I know how to defy gravity. Yeah. Glory to Jesus. Let me get you to play just a second. Say, defy gravity. Thank you, Jesus. Every eye closed. Just play the notes to come to the altar. You may not have bought the t-shirt. You may not have known all the scriptures. You might even be tired right now. You may be hungry. But there are some of us that are not just hungry for food, but we're hungry for nourishment. Our souls need nourishment. Worship may not have done it for you. The prayers may not have done it for you. But I am believing that Jesus' word is alive and it is active. I believe that the word of God has been read, it has been taught, it has been reaching you throughout your sitting and note-taking. You've been thinking about your life. You've been thinking about how are you held down? How has gravity got a pull on you? How is it that when you try to do well, you've got more resistance than you do have freedom? I cannot explain to you how many people either call or text or come into a room or, you know, come to the church knocking on the door and walking in or finding some kind of appointment, no matter where they are. You know what I want to talk about is this. I've been with some of those that are very wealthy, and I've been with some that have very little. But right now, we seem to be in a deficit of happiness. Amen. I can't understand. Some of us have prayed for things, and we've got the things we've prayed for, and we're still unhappy. My God, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. I'm going to ask you what gravitational pull is on you. Lumaye. You got every degree. You're in the school you wanted to be in. You wanted the entrepreneurship. You got that. You wanted to have a date. You got that. You've been asking to be pure. You got that. And yet you're still unhappy. Because happiness cannot be achieved. Happiness cannot be externally received. You have to have Jesus cause you to defy gravity. Maybe you're in a relationship and you just don't know what to do with it anymore. You feel like, I can't say I want out because that'll go bad and we've got too many things vested in each other now. But you might be thinking, well, we feel like we're stuck. We're not going any further. We can't get on the road of gaining anything. I just want to ask you this question. Do you need to defy gravity? Do you need to defy gravity? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that right now at the altar of every heart that's in this room and that will listen in the days to come and maybe the years to come. I pray as some creative title or some scripture that has been read, that the power of Almighty God would cause people to look up, to not look down, to not look within, to not look side to side, not to look to a parent or a professor, not to look to a boss, or not to look at what happened in my past and not to look at what I don't have. And I just pray, Jesus, that we can look up. And wherever we look, that we would also go. It's in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, 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 and amen. Would you give the Lord a big praise offering, if you will? Father, we thank you for what our time has been spent. To you, we owe all the honor and the glory. If you want to be prayed for today, if you're online or if you want to come to the circle or meet someone at the front or whatever you want to do, I guess there is no front, but up towards the stage or whatever, if you know you're in need, why would you walk away when you know you need to try to fly? Can I give you this last thought? In Jesus' name, it all starts with prayer. It all starts with prayer.
It all starts with?
Prayer.
And in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we go away praising, rejoicing, and prayerful. Amen. Amen. And what?
Amen.
Say, welcome to BCC.
Welcome to BCC.
God bless you. We're dismissed. We're dismissed.